You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. It's about to be the best show that we have ever done in the history of the show. Now, I have to be honest. I'm kind enough to start the show by passing out gifts.
Oh,
here, Shady, you get a... Don't worry, I'll just leave it here. Then. Shady, you get a Brock Purdy jersey. It's fine. Joy, you get a Brock Purdy jersey. Customer, can I come around here if I may? James Jones, I had to order you a Brock Purdy jersey. No. Brock Purdy has seen some of the tape, so he didn't want to sign it just yet. Shady, you don't need to wear it. I got it in your size, though. But don't worry about it. Just had to make sure everybody gets Brock Purdy jerseys. Family, so see, I thought Shady might be childish. That's why this one is here to stay. Brock Purdy, ever present on this show. What a championship game. What a championship show we about to have. That Super Bowl champ, James Jones. James, how you feeling, big dog? I don't care how you feel. Joy Taylor, how are you feeling?
I'm great.
Shady, LeSean McCoy?
Feel good.
Oh, Shady feels good. Well, I feel fantastic because here's the question. After coming back from down 17 and the Niners, bang, bang, found a way to get it done, I realized that Brock Purdy is exactly who I thought he was, a winner. James Jones, when I think about what Brock Purdy did in that game yesterday, here's the most fascinating thing. He didn't even start doing what was necessary until it was necessary. Brock Purdy carried the ball three times for 52 yards in that game. You'll see statistically he had five carries for 48 yards because he had two kneel downs for minus 4 yards. He didn't rush the ball the whole first half. But in the second half, when it was time to put the team on his back, Brock Purdy made the plays that he had to make to win the game. But what was most impressive, and I didn't think about it till I woke up this morning, you saw the tweet. Family, Brock Purdy tore his UCL in his throwing arm last year. Yes. And then this year, he proceeded to beat every single team that made the playoffs. He beat the two-seeded Cowboys in the regular season. He beat the three-seed Detroit Lions yesterday. He beat the four-seeded Bucks in the regular season. He beat the five-seeded Eagles in the regular season. He beat the six-seeded Rams in the regular season. He beat the seven-seeded Packers in the playoffs. Coming off of a throwing arm UCL injury, what else you want out of life, fam? Dude beat down every team en route to going to the Super Bowl in his second year as a starter. So now my only question is this, James Jones. Yeah. Are you now entertained? Are you not entertained? Are you impressed?
Are you impressed with the young
Brock
fella?
Purdy fight?
I was impressed by him yesterday, right? Because when that game was 17-0, I said, this is what we've been waiting to see. That's what the world been waiting to see. And I didn't think he could do it. I ain't going to lie. I'd be sitting here lying to the world if I said that Brock Purdy would be able to do it. And you know why I was thinking that? Because nobody has ever done it. In the playoffs, nobody has ever done it. But forget the first half, because we know how the first half went for him. And we know how the first half went for the team.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second half, when I was watching that game, the only bad play that I can say Brock Purdy had was the tip pass that should have been picked. Tipped, Ayuk caught it for 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the young fella made every single right play. And for me, a lot of people were kind of putting him in the Jimmy Garoppolo boat because Jimmy Garoppolo took the team to the NFC Championship. Jimmy Garoppolo took this team to the Super Bowl. But as I was watching that game and you hear everybody saying he's not Jimmy G, you watching the tape, you making some better plays than Jimmy G. But last night I said, yeah, bruh, different. And I'm not even putting him in Jimmy G category. I don't even want to put him in any other quarterback's category. I just want to give the young fellas respect because in the second half, he made every single right play. Getting out of sacks, scrambling, making a throw. making some plays with his legs when he had to, right? They were sacked. Everybody covered, right? Something that them other superstar quarterbacks do, make a play with your legs. He made every single right play. Forget what Detroit did. This young fella, down 17, when the ball was in his hands to control what he could control, he made every single right play, and that's why the Niners won the football game.
When every single play?
In the second half, he made.
Okay.
I said forget the first half. Half's done. In the second half, he made every single right play.
That's what I was hearing.
2-5. Are you impressed? You impressed by Brock Purdy finally?
Yeah, you know what? What was impressive about him is the way he bounced back. You know, last year we had this thing with Jalen Hurts, right? He might not always have the numbers at the end of the game, right? But one thing he does have, the number that's the big one, is the win. Mm-hmm. And Brock Purdy, he did that. He got the win. Late in the game, they needed him, right? Play real sorry the first half. Do we all agree?
I don't think he played real sorry in the first half, but keep going. I don't want to interrupt your take.
Okay. Because he don't. second half, he pulled together, though. Like you talked about, made some plays with his feet, with his legs when they needed it. And then he showed that dog, right? You see how a lot of his teammates always talk about how Brock Purdy, he might not say much, talk much, but one thing you learn from him, he got that dog in him. Mm-hmm. I was looking for it. And I found it. He found a way to win, put his team on his back, right, and he executed. I do think that the Lions had a lot to do with that win for the Niners.
Yep.
They kind of made it easy for him, right, coaching-wise. Mm-hmm. But I can't take nothing from Brock Purdy. Played well in the second half.
We'll get to that later because I agree with Shady, I agree with James, and I likely agree with Joy. The Lions did not do everything they could to put this game away. But, Joy, as we focus on Brock Purdy, are you now impressed with Brock?
Yes, because to me, you are what you are until you're not.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't been to a Super Bowl. He didn't have a comeback win like that. We didn't see that performance from him. He's had good performances, but this is the biggest moment.
Mm-hmm.
He played an NFC Championship game last year for like that long. Well, now he's going to get an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. So whenever we evaluate people's resumes and what they've accomplished and what they're able to do or not do, where's the evidence? James said this earlier in the year. Stop talking about it. Everybody's just pitching things to me. I don't need to be sold on this. Go do it. This is what you play the game for. So you've got to be impressed with Brock Purdy. I said this last week after we were having the conversation about how he played in the last game. At the end of the day, he wins these games. You can't say that he's not a winner. And that's we don't put these little asterisks next to it. By the way, Dan Campbell made some sketchy decisions. There was a fumble here. We don't talk about none of that. At the end of the day, it's wins and losses. And he wins. You just listed all the teams that he beat throughout the regular season. Now into the postseason. And, yeah, that game was ugly at times. But being able to come back, having the poise to come back in that situation, being able to have the energy to come back in that situation is very, very important. That's the difference to me between winners and losers. And that's why I brought up Jalen Hurts last week. And I think that it's appropriate to bring up this week. What is the big critique of Jalen Hurts last year? Well, it doesn't really look like it. He's winning because everybody else. He's got all these playmakers. He's unbelievable defense. He's got good coaching. And what would it all say? Yeah, but he keeps winning. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep talking about all this, but he keeps winning. He keeps finding ways to win. He's winning. He's coming from behind and winning. He's taking leads and shutting people down. I feel like that has a lot to do with how Brock Purdy plays. You can get into the nuance of it, and we will. But at the end of the day, it's wins and losses, and you can't take it away from him.
0-18.
Yeah, I
know. Teams were 0-18 in championship weekend when trailing by 17 points at halftime. And Brock Purdy said, forget the previous history. That ain't got nothing to do with me. That ain't got nothing to do with my team. That ain't got nothing to do with my heart. That ain't got nothing to do with this ability. Remember last week going into the Packers game, Kyle Shanahan was 0-31 when trailing by 5+ going into the fourth quarter. Brock Purdy said, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Yep. That ain't got nothing to do with this team. That ain't got nothing to do with my heart. That ain't got nothing to do with who I am as a quarterback. So last week, he erased all doubt. This week, if you still had some reason to doubt him, he backdoored and erased all doubt again, and now he's going to the Super Bowl. So here's maybe the most important and most interesting question I'll ask y'all all day. Who y'all think deserves more credit, Purdy or Shanahan? Because what Purdy did, phenomenal. Yeah. But I'll come out the gate and be honest. Y'all know I love Brock Purdy. Got 4 Brock Purdy jerseys in here. I'm giving Shanahan more. I'm giving Shanahan more credit, 2-5, because if you go into that game down by 17 at half, offense only scored 10 points. So at a minimum, in the second half, you got to score 20 points just to have a chance to win.
Kyle Shanahan, you're an offensive coach. You're down by 17. You got to pray your defense keeps them from scoring, and you got to score at least 20, and you only score 10 in the first half. For his team to have the mental fortitude to come back out there and find a way to win, I'm giving a lot of the credit to Shanahan. I don't think there's a wrong answer. Who you think deserves more credit?
I'm not going to give it to Shanahan, and I think he's an excellent coach. He's one of my favorite coaches in the game right now, but what do you really do? Because a lot of plays on the second half was Brock Purdy making with his feet, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he threw that Hail Mary pass up. That should have been a pick. I don't know what the D-back was doing. Bam his head. And then you caught it. That's a touchdown. I know he didn't draw that up. right? And then you look at the defense. He don't have nothing to do with the defense. He ain't calling no defensive plays. He ain't doing nothing with that. They did their thing, right? And they get the stops they need to get. And then the Lions helped out, going for it on fourth down, not getting field goals. So it's like everything worked out. And then Brock Purdy put his magic on it, his last little spices in the mix, right? Converting on third downs, keeping plays alive, yeah. right? Eluding tackles and sacks. He did play well in the second half. So I just can't give Kyle Shanahan all that credit just because he's the head coach. When you watch this game, look at the stuff that they did to get back in the game to win. It had a lot to do with the defense, had a lot to do with the Lions making mistakes in coaching, and had to do with Brock Purdy keeping plays alive, extending, look, the scrambling.
Yeah.
Hey, and by the way, he's a lot quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he don't go down easy.
Yeah. And he has field vision.
God bless the little guy, man.
Joy, here's my thought, though. If Shanahan would have lost this game, we would have been on his head. I'm getting texts at halftime like, hey, if Shanahan loses, you better be ready to tear him apart tomorrow. So the fact that he came back from down 17 to win also tells me I got to give him his credit. I got to give him his credence because I'm thinking about the little things. Field goal kicker misses a 48-yard field goal first half. Well, Shanahan, you need your kicker to make it in the second half. So whatever you did or didn't say at halftime, whatever you did or didn't say after he walked off to the field after the miss, whatever you did or didn't say before the kick, that matters. Hey, defense, you'll have to find a way to get stops. Whatever you did or didn't say at halftime, that matters. Brock Purdy, you didn't put up points in the first half in a magnificent way. Whatever Shanahan did or didn't dial up and did or didn't say in the second half, that matters. I don't think it's coincidence that in the second half, Brock Purdy started to carry the ball. I think Shanahan probably told him, hey, if you see them in man and their backs turned, cover five, two man, whatever the case may be, tuck it and run. That's why I'm giving Shanahan credit, but where do you stand? Who deserves more?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's the wrong answer, but I'm going with Purdy. I mean, we can't be hanging jerseys about Shanahan today. They don't make Shanahan jerseys for a reason. Shanahan's had an unbelievable career. He's back in the Super Bowl, did an amazing job. But when we're watching what actually happened in that game, you got to give the players credit. Everything Shady just said is, I just copy-paste everything Shady just said. There were some plays that nobody anywhere thought was going to happen. That IU catch is video game stuff. Not even. Like, that's not something that you draw up. That was supposed to be an interception, so I hope he didn't draw that up. I hope he didn't tell him to do that, because that was supposed to go the other way. I think Brock Purdy made some really good choices towards the end of the game. Obviously, the plays that he made with his legs were instrumental, some big-time plays. And the defense and everyone else, by the way. We haven't mentioned Juszczyk and Kittle and McCaffrey. We haven't said McCaffrey's name in this block, which is outrageous. So, no, all the credit goes to the Niners players, to me, in the second half. I'm sure that he gave a great speech, but there were a lot of things that happened on the field that coaches didn't draw up. To me, it was a lot of superstar play and the arrival of Brock Purdy on the biggest stage.
Yeah, and I think there is a wrong answer to who gets more credit. And the wrong answer is Kyle Shanahan.
Mm.
He don't get none of this credit. We've been saying for years, especially this year, can he play off script? Every big play in this football game that Brock Purdy made was off script.
Mm-hmm.
It was not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ball out. Look at that play design. The play is wide open. This was Brock Purdy. The plays that Brock Purdy made in the second half, the third and four, which was a big one. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want him throwing across his body, but it's third down and four. He's about to get sacked. Throws it across his body. Jennings makes a one-hand catch, but these are off-scripted plays. Even if he did tell Brock if it's not open, run, that's an off-scripted play by Brock. The game is moving extremely fast. You got pressure. You got Hutchinson and all the boys coming after you, and he's making plays with his legs. And not only that, he's running away from some of these boys with his legs. So a lot of the plays to win the football game was off-scripted plays that Kyle Shanahan did not call. And I know Kyle. Kyle's son, Lil Weezy, come to never think about failure football camps in the Bay. He wouldn't want the credit. Brock Purdy put that team on his back in the second half and went to work with the plays that he made.
I don't think that Kyle Shanahan would want the credit. I'm saying to myself, I've been down 17. We all have. We've been down 17 in the game before. you know there is doubt in the back of your mind, like, oh.
But who are you looking at, though?
To me, you're looking at a couple things. One is, if the coach doubts, you will also start to doubt. If your quarterback doubts, you'll also start to doubt. Quarterback of the offense and quarterback of the defense. So I even saw the defense start to feel sorry for themselves at the beginning of the third quarter. Until that fumble by Gibbs, until they got down by seven. Then all of a sudden they were like, oh, we about to go do this. We gonna get this done. But to come back in the second half and score 27 unanswered, that to me is where I put give Kyle Shanahan credit. He's an offensive coach. He only had 10 points in the first half. You an offensive coach and you got 10 points. So for him to figure out at halftime, what do I need to do to get things going? And you put up 24 in the second half. That's why I give him credit. Because you put up 20, you... In the second half, he did his job as an offensive coach. Did Purdy make phenomenal plays? Absolutely. That's why I love me some Brock Purdy. But I know Kyle Shanahan made sure that his offense got clicking, and he took advantage of all of Dan Campbell's mistakes, and Campbell made a lot of
them. Yeah, see, for me, I go straight to the players. I've been down in some games by a lot of points. We were down in Dallas. We played Dallas. I felt like we was down by 50, right? We was down by a lot of points. Not once we look at Coach Mike. You get in that huddle with that defense, you're looking at each other like, let's go. You get in that huddle with the offense, you're like, hey, Aaron, let's, like, you're looking at your teammates. Like, I don't feel like the coaches really had anything to do with that. Them players made them plays. And it wasn't like on defense, we like, ooh, heck of a scheme. Look, you see how he put.
No,
them is one-on-one plays that they was making. And the same with Brock Purdy. These is plays that is not drawn up for nobody. Kyle, that ain't on there. Right, the plays that Brock Purdy was making. So for me, all the credit goes to this team, man. And it starts with the quarterback, because we always get the quarterback praise and we always get on the quarterback for the losses. For me, this is all about the team, man. And Brock Purdy in that second half put the team on his back and went to work.
Absolutely. Well, what a championship weekend it was. What a show we have for y'all. On the other half of this commercial break, the other side of it, are you more impressed with Patrick Mahomes or disappointed in Lamar? Y'all have to come back for this Lamar Jackson conversation. It will be epic. Now 2-5. As a starter in the playoffs, and Patrick Mahomes has 14 playoff wins. I think something like that, something asinine. It's crazy. That's next. Don't forget, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel on Sirius XM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Family, the biggest game of Lamar Jackson's career, and he fell short to Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce went crazy. Lamar Jackson, not so much. Two turnovers, including an interception in the end zone. Zay Flowers didn't necessarily help him out with that fumble, but you see, Patrick Mahomes once again hoisting an AFC Championship trophy. I cannot wait for this conversation. Shady, Mahomes played great. Lamar did not. Are you more impressed with your former teammate, Patrick Mahomes, or are you disappointed in Lamar Jackson, who falls to 2-4 in the playoffs? Where you at on it?
I'm going with Patrick Mahomes, right? In playoff time, he's like a whole different person. He's like the Terminator, right? All year, he's just been up and down, turnovers here, loss here, a squeaky win. Is the offense not the same? And our receivers, all that stuff we talked about.
Yep.
But I say, yo, we can never bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I kept saying that.
Yeah.
Y'all thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. Now look at it.
Look at him.
Kid, he went on the road. That was another question.
Check.
Cool. You know what? Let's go on the road. Let's take the band on the road. It's time to clock in. On Instagram and social media, you got this thing called the clock. It's time to clock in. It's the playoffs. They know what I do best. I win. Even with the whole time with Tom Brady, when they had them dynasty, they were winning Super Bowls. Every Super Bowl year he won, they didn't have a great offense every year.
Yeah.
But they still
found
won.
True.
But this offense, a team he has,
well,
man, they're so young, inconsistent. And right now they clicking.
Mm-hmm.
On the plays that they didn't click earlier in the year, yeah. On the timing routes, they doing it. The miscommunications, nah, they on the same communication. Mm-hmm. Now they're back rolling. So I got to go with Patrick Mahomes. You went to Buffalo first.
Yeah.
It's cold as hell there. It's a lot of crazy drunk fans. They're going through tables all day, all night, waiting for the game. He wins that game. You know what? We don't get excited. We're not going to dance. We're not going to holler. Andy Reid said that. We're going to go to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Now we're going to dance. Now we're going to put the hats on. And another thing, when you talk about superstar players, a guy like Travis Kelce, I can't be Patrick Mahomes. I'm up here balling out. Yeah. And you kind of up and down, whatever you got going on. What did Travis do? He tighten it up. He, wifey's up top. Hold up, babe. We're going to do this later. I'm on the field. And what did he do? He grinded. 11 targets for 11 catches. Got a touchdown. Got busy. So I got to go Patrick Mahomes. He's setting that legacy. He always had one, but now it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We talking about, is he the GOAT already?
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible take. I'm more disappointed in Lamar. Mm. The reason I'm more disappointed in Lamar is we've seen this from Pat before. We've seen Pat be great. Literally, we have seen Pat be great. But I thought we were done seeing this from Lamar.
Yeah.
That's why I'm disappointed in Lamar. I thought we were done seeing the playoff woes from Lamar. Remember, going into the Houston Texans playoff game, Lamar Jackson was 1-3 in the playoffs. He had 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Against the Texans, he had 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. So now his playoff touchdown turnover ratio was 8-7. Then this game, sack fumble for no reason because you just patting the ball too long. Then this game, you throw a pick in the end zone. I thought we were done seeing it. Family, in 2020, I believe it was, Lamar Jackson plays the Buffalo Bills. He throws a pick 6 in the end zone. Taron Johnson takes it the other way. Ravens lose by 13 or 14. That was a 14-point swing. I thought we were done seeing this from Lamar. They said Greg Roman runs the ball too much. We want the ball in Lamar Jackson's hand so he can pass it more. Now, after this game, we wanted Lamar Jackson to run the ball more with this team. I thought we were done seeing this from Lamar. I'm more disappointed in Lamar because I already know Pat's that great. But, Joy, you at the bank. You at home. You've never hosted a home championship game before in the Ravens' history. You hosted a home championship game. Patrick Mahomes, on average, 30 points per game in the playoffs. Your defense holds him to 17. Your defense holds Patrick Mahomes to 17 points, and you can't get it done. You turned the ball over twice. You were an MVP this year, and you unanimously 3-4 years back. The reason I'm so disappointed, I thought we were done. It's like the individual who lies to you, and they're like, I promise I'm not going to lie to you again, and then they keep lying. I thought we was done. So I am more disappointed in Lamar, not because Mahomes wasn't great. He was great, but I'm used to his greatness. I was done being used to Lamar's playoff shortcomings.
Yeah, I'm more impressed with Patrick Mahomes. I think what Mahomes is doing is historical, and it feels special to be able to watch and enjoy what he and the Chiefs are doing. Now, I know there are some teams out there, probably like the Ravens, that aren't enjoying it, but and the Bills. The rest of us can sit back and watch a really exciting, thrilling team player reinvent themselves every single year and get right back to where we didn't think they could make it because of how it went during the regular season, or you lost Tyreek Hill, or can he even get close to chasing Brady? What's happening with Patrick Mahomes is really, really special. And I know some people might be getting sick of seeing them. Don't do that. Don't fall for it. This is greatness that we're watching, and we need to appreciate it. I know we love to do this. We have to build people up, and then we got to, like, try to tear them down so we can try and make it seem like it's not as great as it is. This is so hard to do. It's so hard to get to conference championship games, let alone to Super Bowl after Super Bowl, after winning Super Bowl, after winning MVP, after Super Bowl MVP. There is a separation from Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs, and everyone else in the league. That's just what it is, and we're watching it, and we're living it. And as somebody who adores these experiences, like, sports is history to me. It's really, really special to see one percenters of one percenters go up against other one percenters and be that much greater. It's really crazy to watch. You mentioned Travis Kelce. All year, we're killing Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Those are the performances you put when you put the reel up at the Hall of Fame. Those are the ones, those are the catches that you're showing. So I hear you on Lamar Jackson. It is disappointing. And as highly as we all think of Lamar Jackson, and as incredible as his season has been, and then being in the AFC Championship game and having that defense that didn't allow Patrick Mahomes, as crazy as he is, to score in the second half, it is disappointing. But I got to lean to the positive, and watching Patrick Mahomes, again, going to the Super Bowl, it's just, we didn't think we were going to have conversations like this after Brady.
And the funny thing is, like, he's an underdog. That don't even make sense.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I've been betting on him the whole weekend.
I wish I could say both. But
We'll get to Lamar.
Disappointed, but I'm impressed with Patty, man. Like Shady said, you the underdog the last 2 weeks. Patty, you ain't never the underdog, and you always at home. You the underdog on the road twice, and you go on the road and deliver. When the game started, I'm looking at this Baltimore defense, and I'm looking at Patty, and I said, this defense ain't ready for Patty. You first two drives is two touchdown drives.
Easy.
Now, people say scoring. No, I don't count the threes that score. Mm-hmm. Them is touchdown drives the first two drives. One was 9 minutes and one was 7 minutes. Everything that the Baltimore Ravens defense had a plan for, Patty had another plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang, the ball out of Patty's hands right there. I'm looking at the linebackers like, you ain't going to scoot over? Yeah. Patty going to throw that. Like, I know the other quarterbacks y'all playing with might not throw that. That's about to come out of Patty's hand. Whoa. Patty was just a step ahead of this defense really all game long. And I say all game long because they could have got a stop at the very, very end. Patty say, hold up. Check. And turns it into the right play.
Yeah, I got to give him love, though.
And turns it into the right play. And MVS makes a really good catch. But Patty, all game long, was a step ahead of Baltimore's defense. And I understand people going to say, well, in the second half, they pump. That's all good. That's foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
We try not to make a mistake. Yep. Patty wasn't really aggressive.
Correct.
He wasn't. So I understand people might. But Patty was a step ahead of that defense all game. And that was impressive to me because that's the number one defense. You on the road, underdog again. And I'm still waiting for Patty to make a bad play, and it ain't happened yet in the playoffs. And I don't think it's going to happen. Not a pick yet. You've been on the road.
It's true.
And he ain't even had a questionable one.
Not even a questionable one. Not even a questionable one.
Not like it would.
No. You talking about Lamar when it went through the linebacker's hands? Nick Bolton?
The other boy.
Oh, you're talking about No. Not even one of them?
Not even close. Yeah.
Not
Patty,
even
Patty like that, man. We seen it with our eyes, more and more clear.
Well, family, when we return, James, I do wonder if you owe Brock Purdy an apology. I don't want your answer now. On the other half of this commercial break, we will see if the man to my left will apologize to the man to my right. What a smile. That's a smile of a champion. That's a smile of a second-year player going to the Super Bowl. Next on Speak, let's have some fun.
That's like Kyle a little bit.
Going to the Super Bowl.
James Jones, were you impressed by Brock Purdy?
No, he did not impress me at all. At all. Brock showed us yesterday that, number one, he can't do it with less, and number two, he cannot do it coming from behind. Brock Purdy can go out there and play a football game and not have to take none of these chances because of how good the defense is.
Why do we even talk about Brock Purdy in these conversations with these other quarterbacks?
Just put this right.
James Jones, man, you said a lot.
Yes, I did.
You said a lot. A lot was wrong. For clarity, a lot was wrong.
Yeah.
But now that you have seen this man, Brock Purdy, take his team to a Super Bowl, 50-plus rushing yards in the second half, 260 yards in a championship game which he had never really been to and finished before. Now that you have seen him be the catalyst for his team's success in a game in which he had to succeed, I feel as though an apology, sir, is necessary. Now, Brock is not here, so his jersey will stand in his place. But, Big Dog, apology necessary?
No. And if me and Brock were standing face to face, I would tell him no. But respect is earned, and he earned my respect, because when I was doing those takes,
yes, sir,
those takes was true. They were like, oh, wow. But now, as of late, you come back against the Green Bay Packers, then you come back down 17, and it was no scheme. I said that earlier. It was no scheme. The plays that Brock Purdy made was Brock Purdy.
Sure.
It was no designs. It was no look at this play by Couch. It was the plays that he made. And to be down 17 and put your team on your back and win that football game, which has never been done, I respect you, Brock Purdy.
But here's the point I've been trying to make to you all and
What's
this
that?
Man. I won't even look at him. And this man. What Brock Purdy did yesterday, we've seen him do before. Now, not by the margin of coming back from the score, but against the Packers, he had a game-winning drive in a downpour of rain. He was down by 7 in that game. Against the Packers, he had to once again show up when it mattered most.
Yeah.
Now against the Detroit Lions, 2nd and 11, he has a 21-yard scramble. 2nd and 6, he has a 10-yard scramble. 3rd and 4, 4 minutes, 42 seconds left in the game, he has a 21-yard scramble. Those led to 17 points, those three plays. Brock Purdy's made winning plays all season.
I understand what you're talking about, but visualize that Green Bay game, right? Because still was an argument, even though he won the game, did Jordan Love play better than him?
Sure.
Yesterday, it was not even a question how Brock Purdy played.
Sure, but there's still an argument. Did Goff play better than him? We was arguing before the show. You think Goff did. You thought Love did. But once again, Brock Purdy just finds a way to win. I'm just saying, winning in the NFL is hard. You won a Super Bowl. You know even better than I, so I'm preaching to the choir. But Brock Purdy made winning plays.
He did.
He did yesterday. He did against the Packers. He has the entirety of his career, 21-5 as a starter, NFC Championship game, and a Super Bowl. I'm just wondering, why now? Why are you now?
Yesterday was different. Yesterday he needed a good play after a good play after a good play after a good play. Not one good drive. Because we all talked about the Packers game. He had one good drive everybody's talking about. Yesterday it was one good drive, two good drives, three good drives, six, seven, eight good plays. Like, people, there's so many plays to talk about. People, even the pass on third down to IU.
Yes.
Who knows if that goes to four? That's a strike by Brock Purdy. Those are elite plays when the game is on the line. The plays with his legs, those are elite plays when the game is on his line. So for me, why I'm giving Brock Purdy respect is because he made them time after time after time after time against the Detroit Lions when you had no room for error. One mistake on any of those drives, they lose the football game. And Brock Purdy was so perfect in the second half, he made every single play. And that's respect. That's big time.
And after that game, I have now officially concluded I don't care how talented a quarterback is. All I care about is how well does he run his system.
Yeah.
I think Brock Purdy showed to you and the entirety of the world that it's all about how do you run your offense. I've said all season long, Brock Purdy runs his offense better than any player in football not named Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Did that become clearer than ever in yesterday's championship game?
But for me, I took the system all out of it yesterday because Brock Purdy made plays that the system is not on Kyle Shanahan's play call sheet. Plays that we used to Patrick Mahomes making.
Yeah.
Plays that we wanted to see Lamar make on Sunday.
Yeah.
He made those plays. Plays that Jared Goff made in the game on Sunday. He made those plays. So it wasn't even like Kyle Shanahan said, okay, look, we got QB draw, because I promise you that ain't at the top of the list. And he had 50-something rushing yards, but it was him making the plays. So for me, that's why I said respect is earned, because the way he played the game, he was in full command of the game, but he made plays on his back, and it was no play design, just big-time play calls, that if that was Patrick Mahomes making them, and Patrick Mahomes came back from 17, or Lamar came back from 17, the whole show will be them.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you got two kids, don't you?
I got two of them, two little boys.
You think they want to?
Look at
you. You think they want to
Look at he done took a two.
You think they don't even want to buck?
He done took a
two. You don't
even
want to?
I don't think it's not no Niners gear in there.
I love death to the desk, because though Brock Purdy made some big plays, Shady, Joy, we've talked about Dan Campbell's shortcomings. I mean, it was a big, great season for the Detroit Lions, but Dan Campbell made a lot of mistakes, Joy Taylor, a lot of mistakes in that football game. So I'm really just wondering, shout out to Brock Purdy, shout out to Shanahan, not taking nothing from y'all, but did Dan Campbell cost the Lions the game?
He did not cost him. I mean, look, that fumble by Gibbs was, tough to come. That's tough to come back from.
It is.
Reynolds drops.
Yeah.
You got an interception thrown to Kendall Vildor, and it goes off of his face. Mm. And then IU catches it. You know, that don't really have anything to do with Dan Campbell. But you don't want the conversation after an NFC championship game to be, did the coach lose you the game?
Right.
That's what you don't want. So the fact that we're even asking this question means a big slice of this blame pie has to go to Dan Campbell. I feel bad for Jared Goff, honestly. I feel like Jared Goff played well enough to win that game.
He did.
And there was a lot that happened. You got to make better decisions. And I understand that you have coaching philosophies. I love that for you. That's what got you here. But if you ask any successful person, what gets you somewhere might not be the thing that keeps you somewhere. So you don't need to die on principle. Mm-hmm. I promise the guys we will go for it if we get down. Promises? I don't care what you promise me. If it's between this and going to the Super Bowl, break that promise, bro. Lie to me, please. Tell me any lie you need to tell me. Lie to me. I'm begging you. Yeah. You got to move off of that. And to me, this is the difference between great coaches and coaches that put their teams in positions to win and coaches that just haven't gotten there yet. And I don't know, I'm not going to make this an entire indictment of Dan Campbell's coaching career, because I think he's done a tremendous job, maybe the best job with the Lions. And I don't want this to discredit what they've done this season and what they've built from the time that he's gotten there to winning more and more every single year, putting together a really great roster with a lot of talented pieces. I don't want this moment to discredit that, but that's what it comes down to. You're the coach. You can't be the conversation after a game. And there were just decisions that were questionable. You got to take points there. You got to take points in the first half and really put your foot on it. And Shea talks about this all the time. You got to find a way to close games. You got to win games. It's things change throughout the game. You have momentum. You get up. You get down. Finish the game. It's one of the things that the Eagles actually were great at. We don't know how you play. You make mistakes, whatever. Finish the game. It's what we love so much about Brock Purdy. That wasn't an all-around great game for Brock Purdy. But at the end of the day, he's on the way to the Super Bowl, and the Lions are going home.
True.
So I can't put it all on Dan Campbell, but, man, like the pie, you get like this much. You get like this much, and then you will split up the rest with the players.
Yeah, I'm blaming a lot of this on Dan Campbell. I am. Just because, like, and I get it. He has a philosophy of, look, I'm aggressive. I'm aggressive all the time. I ain't halfway doing it. This ain't double dutch where one foot's out, one foot's in. No, we all the way in it. So I get that. But it's like you take risks, right, in life. I remember when I was a freaking rookie running back, right, trying to make a name for myself. I had Brian Westbrook. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to risk my whole body to get on this field. I'm going to go in there between two fat linemen and try to get a first down because I want to get – I'm taking that risk to get the money, to get playing time, to get a name. But once I arrived, once they gave me that first big contract, I wasn't risking no more. I did all that. So my thing with – let me translate that to what happened yesterday. You did all this risk to get the number
seven,
two seed.
Yep.
Number
yep.
two seed, right? Three seed. And then you win. Now you have the NFC Championship game, right? You here. All the risk you did to get here. And then once you get here, you don't risk no more.
Yeah.
You play it safe.
Yeah.
It's like once you get rich, I don't have to do all the stuff I was doing before to get rich. Now I'm rich. Now I can take my time. And so when I look at the game, third quarter, first of all, we had a great, phenomenal first quarter, or first half.
Yeah.
Quarterback, offense, defense, everybody played well, right? The second half, Niners gonna make a run. They're the best team in the NFC. You know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You hold off a little bit. Third quarter, you can go up by three scores. You can go up by 17. It was like 6 minutes and 58 seconds, something like that. You take the 3 points and you make Brock Purdy, who was all up and down the whole first half, and you make him score and score and score again. Because then when you don't do that, now you put pressure on your team. Now we got to play perfect. Now we begging the defense to get a stop. Now, if we do have a turnover or a mess up, we go for the fourth down, the guys drop the pass, whatever may happen. Now you're in trouble. So I got to blame him for that, man. You think about this for a second. You got the Niners at home. You got the Niners on the road.
Yeah.
Down 17 third quarter with 7 minutes left, and you don't take that? Mm-hmm. How do you look your players in the face, and what do you tell them after the game? Because after the game, I'm like this. I don't know how they are. I'm like this. Yeah, we lost. What you about to tell us? For real, though. What you about to tell us?
Because you weren't even consistent.
Come on, man.
Like, that's the moment where you actually...
What you mean?
Like, you're going to be aggressive, right? Like, I'm aggressive. Rah, rah, kneecap.
That's his thing. Yeah.
Be aggressive then. What are you talking about? Go up 21 points. You weren't aggressive.
Oh, before half.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you weren't even consistent with it. You were just doing whatever, really. And to me, like, that's, like, the situational football is so big.
Yes.
It's so big, especially when it comes to coaching. Like, we talked about, do we give Shanahan credit or Brock Purdy more credit? The reason that the three of us said Brock Purdy is because the off script, coming down to the moment, making the plays all the Lions were all messing up on, that was player stuff. But this is situational football. You're the one that has to make the call. You're the leader. You have to make the call to put us in the best position. Make the right choice.
And another thing is, like, I look at a football game where it's never going to be perfect. I don't care if they put 50 points up. The game is never going to be perfect.
Ever.
So in the first half, it was damn near perfect.
Perfect.
So you know that eventually, right,
something
in all sports,
something going to break.
Momentum is going to change. Yep. Eventually, they're home. Yeah. They're clawing to get
good
back.
Of a team.
Too good of a team. So you know something's going to happen. So as a coach, like, you know what? Eventually, it's going to turn.
Yep.
Right? You love the gamble. Blackjack. Right. Dang, blackjack. Hit him up.
Eventually.
I'm like, yo, I'm winning, but eventually
it's going to turn.
It's going to turn.
Yeah.
My thing is, you had to prepare for that. Yo, you know what? We've been blessed this whole time.
Whole first half.
You know what? Let's just be safe.
Chill.
Because I never know what's going to happen at the end of the game.
Here's my biggest point is this. The Niners would have run out of time.
Yep.
My favorite coach ever, Mack Brown, College Football Hall of Fame coach. At the end of literally every game that we ever lost when I was at Texas, Joy, he would come into the locker room and say, gentlemen, we didn't lose. We just ran out of time. Gentlemen, we didn't lose. We just ran out of time. That's what Shanahan would have had to say. Man, we just ran out of time.
Yeah.
Fred, my bad. Brock, we'll get him next year. We just ran out of time. Kittle, we used Jack. We just ran out of time. That's what the Niners would have had to say if Campbell would have just done his job. Shady brought it up. Joy brought it up. 6 minutes, 58 seconds. The Niners come out of halftime. You know their guns are blazing. Brock Purdy, he throws a dig to Deebo Samuel. 20-yard gain. Deebo Samuel gets up. He spins the ball. Niners go down the field. But Detroit Lions, y'all hold them to a field goal.
Yeah. Yeah, yo, that was big. Yeah, was yeah.
Smooth. Y'all held him to a field goal. Now, Jared Goff, y'all go down there. Boom,
down the
boom, boom,
straight
boom,
down the
boom. You at the 28-yard line. Just kick the field goal.
That's it.
Because now it's still a 17-point game with 22 minutes left.
No,
it was a 17-point game with 30 minutes left at halftime. It would have still been a 17-point game with 22 minutes left. Then just keep it a 17-point game with 15 minutes left. And then here's the other thing that this killed me. This is when I knew the Niners won, not when Gibbs fumbled. It was 7:32 left in the fourth quarter. The Niners are up 27-24. Dan Campbell is 4th-and-3.
Kick
the field goal. Tie the game up.
I'm liking to stop.
Because if you tie the game up, this is what analytics can't measure. Analytics can't measure pressure and the heartbeats
exactly.
of players.
Yep.
It can't measure that.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, if you tie the game up, see, now Fred got more pressure on him next time he out there.
Yep.
Now Shanahan has to call a different game because Shanahan's not playing tied. He's not playing from behind. He's playing with a lead.
Yep.
So what did Shanahan do the next possession? Oh, now we're finna run it.
Yeah.
Now, because now, even if I don't score, we still got a lead.
Yep.
Even if we turn the ball over, we still got a lead. But you let Shanahan get the ball back up 3. So now what'd he do? Oh,
that's it.
Go ahead, CMC. Oh, dink and dunk. So now the Niners was just exhaling.
Yep.
Woo-sah.
Right.
Now they was chilling. Now it's 3rd-and-4. Brock Purdy, he already up by 3. So now it's 3rd-and-4. Brock Purdy, he didn't have to be special. He said, oh, I'm going to just run it. Because even if I don't pick up the first, it's Gucci. If I pick up the first, it's love. He runs it plus 21. It's blouses. Game over. So to me, Campbell just made every single wrong decision in the second half. Now, could Josh Reynolds have caught the ball? Sure.
Yep.
Could Jared Goff
make a scramble? Let's go back to him, though. Josh Reynolds, I will never play with him ever again. Oh, man. It's like him and MVS a switch.
Yeah.
Like, you can catch. No. You can't catch. It was terrible.
But, Shady, here, and James,
what
you talked
that?
About this. And, James, I want you to speak to this for the sake of the viewer. You said Josh Reynolds would have caught that in the first half, no pressure. Again, what analytics can't measure, and this is why I love being up here with all these people who have covered sports for a long time or played it for, I think, a cumulative 25 years between the three of us, 12, 9, and my little 4, whatever the case may be. James, speak to the fact that there's more pressure mounting, Dan Campbell, when you let the lead trim and trim and trim and trim. Those drops aren't coincidence. That heartbeat is boom, 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 boom.
Early in that game, you seen 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-19, 3rd-and-12.
Like it was
and Jared Goff just, right? St. Brown, all them boys just making plays, right? Ain't no pressure. We up in the game. So they're just doing what they want to do. It is no pressure. I remember when we were in the Super Bowl. It was our ball. We was up by like 3 points, and we had to go down there and get some type of points, right? And we were up the whole game, and it really, like, you're in the Super Bowl, but it ain't really a lot of pressure. We got in that huddle knowing we had to score. And 12, like, come on now. Be where you're supposed to be. Hey, route at 10. Make sure that route at 10. Like, it's just, and you just get a little tight. Like, oh, we, okay. You know, now I really got it. All right. Like, it's pressure. Any other time, he going to make that play. Pressure on him, he drops the football. But for me, y'all touched on analytics. I remember the year we won the Super Bowl, and even a couple years after when we had some really good records. Coach Mike had a guy that was all about analytics that went everywhere with him. He would get in the team meeting. He would talk. And his job was to protect Mike.
I would have hated him.
From Mike. So if we're in certain situations, he'd be like, kick the field goal right here. No, he'd be like, no, this is when you go for it. Or he'd be like, hey, this is when you take point. Where's the help? It's like when I gamble with the wife and she see me up, she'll take some of my chips. You're not spitting him. Where's the help? At one point, one of these coaches buzzed down in the air. Hey. we up 17. Hey. Let's tie the football game. No help. And I understand the head coach has the final say, but come on now.
Yeah.
Like, you took this away from Jared Goff if we keep it at 100.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Goff played his tail off, man. He played his tail off. It ain't really too many throws that you can say, that's a bad play by Goff.
I agree with
you
that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jared Goff played his tail off. And I understand the fumble and all that. It has nothing to do with that. But, like, you didn't help him. Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions should be in the Super Bowl. If they got some help from their head coach.
Mm-hmm. I won't argue with you.
And it's like when you are trying to come back or you're trying to, if you've been up for so long and you feel the other team coming back, you feel it. You feel that momentum. If you look at the beginning of the game, right, CJ Gardner.
Yeah, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Chauncey Gardner, yeah. he was so involved because him and Debo was going back and forth, but he's reacting to the fans, right, waving at them. They got the moment. They got the swagger. Everybody's laughing, high-fiving. The dudes, I want you people to watch this. When you watch a game, the Super Bowl, no, don't watch all the players in uniform. Watch the guys not in uniform.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. What,
see
they on?
Bod,
what they on?
They going to be up hollering, yelling, right? Soon the momentum change, they quiet. They looking around. Dang. The whole stadium is loud, and our team is quiet. Yeah. So as a coach now, you talk about pressure. Every decision, every moment has to be perfect because we let it slide, right? And then we talk about pressure, and not even just in sports, in anything. Anything, like if you have a lot of money, you spend it, in, then your bank account go real small, that's pressure. Now I got to make sure, okay, how much for hanging out? Okay, how much for the groceries? Mm-hmm. That's the same thing in football. Yeah. When you start making these crazy, rational decisions to go for the fourth down, don't take the field goal, now going forward, every little decision you make has to be perfect.
Shady, is it a coincidence that Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled after the Niners had taken away a 17-point lead and collapsed it to 7. I don't think it is. You've played the running back position before. He fumbled because he went the wrong way. He's a rookie. Yep. Biggest moment of his life. The Niners have now taken all the momentum. They got the crowd. You've been that running back before, because I know a lot of people are watching this show right now saying, momentum, it's a myth. What the heck is momentum? There's no such thing as momentum. Keep in mind, after this Jahmyr Gibbs fumble, he did not get another carry in the football game. Shady, speak to that. Don't make momentum a myth for a second. Make it real, because you've been there before. Yeah. How does that affect the mindset of a player?
It's so funny, man. Like, even in high school, I didn't believe in none of that. So I got to the league, I'm like, yo, it's real. For example, when a team is coming back, their fans, they've been quiet all game for real. Now they loud. We gotta get a stop, right? And now small things where you can make calls from the offensive lineman to the quarterback was easy. We up 14. Yo, we audible, whatever it may be. It's cool. Now everybody's loud. It's like, what you say, huh? Damn, what'd he say? Mm-hmm. Now you're your head. Well, so now when he took the, it was a trap play.
Yeah.
As he's taking the handoff, you could tell he wasn't sure if to go right or left. That's why he took the handoff like that. Then when he got it, he didn't know what to do.
Know to put it.
And he's young. It's a big game. It's the biggest game he's played in since college.
That bigger. Right? Yeah.
And then now you talk about the momentum, then now the defense, they on it. So every little small mess up, you got, we not messing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the whole tide changed, bro. Yeah. And once I set this over, once they got this fumble, they're going to lose.
Yeah, that was the game for me, too. We're not even mentioning the end of the game, running the ball and having to burn the time out.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, like, I think everyone felt like it was out of reach at that point to begin with, but you still have an opportunity. Crazier things have happened. I mean, we've been, you leave Patrick Mahomes 13 seconds and you're going home. So this is playoff football. I think that the frustration for me is there were some Jared Goff played a really, really good game. You had this incredible first half. You feel the momentum. You see the changes. Dan Campbell's been around this for how many years? Decades. He's been on the
He's
not new to this. So you have to find a way to stop the bleeding. That's why I hate that they didn't take those points. And that on that fourth and three, just take the points.
And another thing is like, yo, like, you ain't the better team. See, that's something I don't like.
Right.
Like, if I'm a big dog, right, and we the bigger team, cool. Yeah, we going for it. Y'all know who we are. Y'all know what's up. It's not the case. Y'all the little dog. They the big dog. Y'all the little pup. So it's like you already have the advantage because you have to score. You have, what are you up, 14? Bro, take that field goal, bro. I'm 17. You put the pressure back on them because they've been having pressure all game.
Bro, and here's the thing. The Niners could not stop the Lions.
No.
They could stop them. The Lions stopped themselves. This is the last thing I'm going to say about this subject matter, James. I'll let you take it home after.
Please.
There were 10 offensive possessions by the Detroit Lions. Pay attention to what I'm going to tell y'all at home. Turn your volume up if need be. The Lions had 10 offensive possessions. They scored on 5 of them. 4 touchdowns, 1 field goal. They had turnovers on downs on 2 of them.
2, yep.
Take those 2 turnover on downs, make them field goals. That's 7 scoring possessions out of 10 possessions. 70% of the time, the Detroit Lions offense would have scored. Now, understand this, because this is where this math gets so very fascinating. Even when the Lions didn't score, their average time of possession was 2.5 minutes, and they averaged 7 plays. So even if the Lions don't score, Joy, they're eating up 2.5 minutes and 7 plays. So you don't even have to score. The last thing I'm going to say, and this is a math that's really going to blow your mind. The Niners were down 17 at half. If the Niners and the Lions trade touchdowns and field goals, every time the Niners get the ball, they get 7. Every time the Lions get the ball, assume they get 3. It would have taken 5 possessions to make up that 17-point deficit. There's only 5 possessions and a half. Yeah. So even if you just take your 3s and let them take their 7s, they still would have run out of time. Yeah. James Jones, final word.
That's terrible. I'm just saying, like,
I'm listening to that. I'm really sick for the Detroit players. I am, because them dudes balled. They played their tails off, and
a coach took it away from you. And nobody came to save you. Coach didn't listen to nobody. He stood on what he was doing in the regular season. But the most disappointing thing about it all is he stood up there at the post-game interview and he said, we might never get back here.
Which was real, though.
You're going for it on fourth downs thinking you might never get back here? Instead of going up 17 points?
I guess he justified
like that,
it.
That's crazy to me. Yeah. And I know how hard it is to get back there. You might not never get back there. But if you are there, give yourself a fighting chance. Don't just say we ain't never going to get back there. If we don't get it, oh, we still up 14. No, go up 17. I do not understand that about the coach. And that's why I'm with Shady. What you saying to us? Because right now I ain't listening to nothing you got to say, bruh. Right. You know, and I'm looking at my other coaches. Y'all ain't going to stop, bruh. You know, because I've been in those situations to where, as players, we ain't never going to be like, nah, coach. You call a fourth down call. We believe we going to get it. But as a coach, it's your job to be like, nah, I'm finna protect y'all. We finna kick this three, let our defense go out there. So for me, 30-something years, you ain't had a playoff win. You have never seen the Super Bowl. So the Detroit Lions know how hard it is to try to get to one. And you talking like that after the game, after you make those type of mistakes, that's crazy.
And that's why
they took this from the
players.
That's
why you need leadership, though, because as great as Patrick Mahomes is, as great as Andy Reid is, right, and he might want to do something like that, Patrick Mahomes, like, hey, because they got that relationship, like, oh, coach, hey, look, listen, hold up. Hold on,
true.
Coach. Yeah, we up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let them get that field goal. Because that happens a lot.
It does happen.
Tom Brady's another one, though. I watch Tom. Hey, Bruce, I get you. Hey, hey, hey. And he do it quick. He get right next. Yeah. He get right next. Hey, coach, let's get this field goal. Because he don't want. I'm being serious, though. Because he don't want the players to like, damn, yeah. Or dang, you doing this over the coach head? Nah, look, hey. Go ahead. Hey, look, hey. Yeah. I know I'm great, but look, we trying to win.
No doubt. I've been in situations.
And then you with the Detroit Lions. Yeah. Y'all ain't some great franchise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on, dog. Barry Sanders over there taking on the hits for Todd Haley. Man, listen. Eminem, Slim Shady, had all these dudes rocking for him.
That's 100%
what's the dude,
true.
Kid Rock, and all.
Yeah.
Everybody rocking for Detroit. I wasn't even rocking for Detroit. I don't even know about Detroit. Come on in.
Oh, everybody's disappointed.
No, I ain't sitting down. I'm pissed.
Yo, this has been my favorite show of the year, and it gets better after this commercial break. The Ravens didn't get it done. Lamar 2-4 is a starter. The best team he's ever had came up short against the worst team Mahomes has ever had. How disappointed are we in Lamar's performance? Oh, this is going to be the conversation of the day. It's the next conversation on Speak. Lamar Jackson, he had a lot of yards yesterday, over 300, but remember, he had a couple turnovers that were even more important. He lost a fumble, threw a pick in the end zone, and the Ravens fall short. Only scored 10 points against the Chiefs. Bring us on camera. James, I will start it off because I'm probably the most critical. I've been critical. I don't even think I've been critical. I just think I've been honest about Lamar's performance. Lamar's performance was incredibly disappointing from a micro level. But it was also disappointing from a macro level. Joy, you said something last week. You said it very brilliantly, and I agreed with you wholeheartedly. That there was more than just pressure on Lamar Jackson this game. There was pressure on the narrative of the running quarterback.
Yeah.
Because so often we say that running quarterbacks can't go as far as passing quarterbacks. And I agreed with Joy. If Lamar would have won the game in fairly convincing fashion or at all, the narrative would have changed. But Lamar Jackson, to me, proved why the narrative exists. A-plus passer, Patrick Mahomes, probably a C-plus runner, maybe a B runner, Patrick Mahomes, versus A-plus runner in Lamar Jackson and maybe a B passer, a C-plus passer in Lamar Jackson. And you saw who I'd rather have. Give me the dude who can make his layups. Lamar Jackson, he could hit the home run, but he couldn't make his layups. My dog couldn't connect on a bunt. You feel me? But you can make threes. You can't make free throws. 5-for-12 at halftime passing the ball. Like, I was so disappointed because when your team needed you most, you fell short. How you going to take that sack and a forced fumble? You had about 5 seconds to pass the ball. You going to throw another pick in the end zone when your whole career trajectory as a playoff performer is on the line? And the real reason, and I'm done right now, James, I'm most disappointed. I love me some Greg Roman.
Yeah.
People hate Greg Roman. Hated him. Offensive coordinator. Love me some Greg Roman. Love him. He helped Lamar Jackson win a unanimous MVP, helped Colin Kaepernick get to a Super Bowl, helped revive Alex Smith's career. I love me some Greg Roman, but they got rid of Greg Roman. Joy, they said Greg Roman wasn't enough. They said they ran the ball too much with Greg Roman, said the offense was too simplistic with Greg Roman, said Greg Roman was holding Lamar Jackson back. So now you're bringing Todd Monken. And not only do you bring in Todd Monken, you draft another first-round wide receiver in Zay Flowers. You paid Odell Beckham $15 million because Lamar Jackson wanted another wide receiver. You got Isaiah Likely, a tight end. You got Mark Andrews, a tight end. You got Rashad Bateman, a first-round wide receiver. You got Nelson Aguilar. He showed up last week versus Buffalo Bills, scored a touchdown. So you got all these receivers. And now they complaining they didn't run the ball enough. Like, James, I was so disappointed in how this performance went for Lamar Jackson, but how disappointed were you?
I wanted that for my dog. I wanted my dog to be in the Super Bowl. But I'm very disappointed because Lamar wasn't Lamar. Patty Mahomes is a passer. That's what Patty Mahomes does. Stand in the pocket, sidearm, behind my back. That's what he does. There's no knock because you are a good runner. Be you. You are about to win the MVP because you were you all season. And the biggest game on the line, you got away from who you were as I was watching that football game. If Lamar drops back and he's like, man, ain't none of my receivers open. It happens to Patty Mahomes. It happens to all of us. But what I do different than what these other quarterbacks do is I'm out of there. Ain't got no time for no strip sacks. Ain't got no time for that. I don't care if you got a spy on me. The last spy was on me was Fred Warner. That was good. And y'all seen me pointing at Buddy when he was on the ground. Like, it don't matter. Lamar got away from doing what he does best. I don't even care what the play call is, right? I don't blame the offensive coordinator at all. I don't blame Monken at all because I truly believe watching that game, what Monken said was, I'm putting the football in my best player's hands. I understand everybody want Gus, and he ain't my best player. Mm-hmm. My best player is Lamar Jackson, and he can run and throw and make it extremely hard on defenses. And Lamar did not do that. Lamar stood in the pocket. He took some sacks that he did not need to take. He threw some footballs that I don't even know what my dog was looking at. It just was an overall bad performance by him. And it wasn't yards or none. How he played. That's what stood out for me, how he played. He did not play like Lamar Jackson. He played like a pocket passer, and he's not a pocket passer. He's a really good quarterback that can throw and run, and he did not play like that. And that's what was disappointing to me, because if he did play like that, the Ravens might be moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed mostly because, as James just said, Lamar didn't play his game. It felt like it was kind of, he was forcing things that he would normally take, moments that he would take in his hands and make a big play. He was trying to throw the ball. It all felt very like, yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just not yourself. It felt forced, felt awkward. It wasn't his game. And we've seen him have huge games this year against really good talent. So we know what he is capable of. This is what will be a two-time league MVP. They are in the AFC Championship game for a reason, and he's the best player on the team, and he's shown many times throughout this season to be the best player on the field. So it's not that Lamar Jackson isn't capable of it, even in the postseason. So that's really what's disappointing, because now the narrative is going to spin to, can he win the big game? Like, they were in the AFC Championship game. Yeah. I know that it didn't go the way that we wanted to, but all in all, when you're looking at was this experiment of changing the offensive coordinator successful, I think it was. I think an AFC Championship game, when he has never been to an AFC Championship game as a unanimous MVP, shows that it was successful. Did they reach their ultimate goal? No. Is it disappointing? Yes. Did we want Lamar Jackson to have an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl when he does have this incredible defense alongside him and all this talent? Yes. And only one team goes to the Super Bowl. And this year they went up against Patrick Mahomes, and he's one of the greatest to ever do it, and he's writing his story to be the greatest to ever do it. So I guess for me, I am disappointed, but I can't go running to writing off everything that Lamar did this year, what the Ravens did this year. It was disappointing. It wasn't a performance that we expected from him, and that part is fair. So the criticism of that is fair. But I'm not going to go crazy with it. I still think Lamar Jackson is incredibly talented. I wouldn't be surprised if they're right back here again next year. There were a lot of other mistakes that happened throughout the game that I thought was a reflection of them not being there before. So you're going up against a team that's gone to 6 straight AFC Championship games. You're not able to make mistakes. And especially against a team like the Chiefs that are going to take advantage of the mistakes that you make.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in Lamar Jackson, right? And I blame him for this loss. But also, I won't blame for the whole loss, right? I think he has a big part of it because he's the quarterback. He's the best player. We want the ball in his hands. He threw some questionable passes, right? Even the one to the last pick to Likely. Yeah. It was 3 guys on. I didn't know what he was trying to do there. But You know, and the other thing is, like, him holding on to the ball too long, like, for what? You Lamar Jackson. What makes you special? They praying you do that, right? They don't want you to take off. So I blame him for some type of things and also not getting the offense going, right? Like, it took so long for them to go. But it's some other blame that needs to be passed around, too, right? I'm going to go to the defense. The first two drives they scored, is that correct?
Yeah. Touchdown.
I mean, so you're not used to that, though. Like the number one, one of the things we talked about was how great this defense was. That's why I gave them a chance that they should win. So my thing is off the rip. You looking at these faces and all that.
Shady, they only gave up 17, coach.
I hear you, but like, it's
that's
about
crazy.
Yeah, but it's about the momentum. So you coming into our house, right? This is the house that Ray Lewis and T. Suggs and them guys they built. We on defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love the Ravens, right? Lamar Jackson, who he is, but a lot of it's the defense, correct? So when you come in here, right, on the road, and you come here, and you score back to back, boom! It's like it's a shock. We just talked about how you talk about pressure. We just talked about momentum.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's momentum?
Agreed.
So now in the second half, right, and the offense was kind of stalling out. We don't have to put the foot on the gas like we did in the first half. If you look at the Chiefs, they were doing stuff like run the ball. Okay, take a little small. Patty, chuck it down, punt it.
Mm-hmm.
Play defense.
Mm-hmm.
They play safe. They didn't play, but they didn't do what the Lions did. That's one part. So I'm giving some of that to the defense early in the game, right? If you want to shock a big time and aggressive defense, you score them early. Mm-hmm. You make them bleed. Oh, they cut. We ain't even cut all year. Oh, we cut. Yeah, that's one part. The second thing is all the dumb mistakes, all the dumb penalties, though, right? I'm going to go to Zay Flowers. Now, he did fumble on the 1 yard line, and he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give him a big pass. It's the biggest game he's ever been in, right? Trying to make a touchdown, great catch, boom, fumble.
Yeah, he's playing ball.
It's a bad situation, but it happens. He gets some of that blame. And then, but the
which one?
A sportsmanlike conduct he had. What the? So what? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
First of all, you get up on him, you spit it on him, and look at him like, what you think about that? Look at this crazy.
Y'all
though.
Down 10, first off.
Bro, like, this is something they're going to do in my hood or my neighborhood. They're going to do something like this in high school. Get on me, boy. What? And like
what you doing?
That's one of them.
He had his leg, though.
And it don't matter. Why spend the ball on him, though? See, the Chiefs is not going to do that.
No.
That's
bingo.
Football, right?
Bingo.
The
bingo.
Second one is all the other penalties leading to that. Clowney. He had the late hit on Patrick Mahomes. And then the big deep tackle.
Yeah.
Why are you hitting the quarterback in the face? Why are you even doing that?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is small things you don't even see. You look at the stat lines, you're going to see Lamar did this. He did
yep,
that.
Yep, yep, yep.
But it's small things in the game that should never happen. Yep. So now when you look at Lamar not playing well to late in the game, all these mistakes and turnovers, and then you look at all the flags, like, you're going to lose. So I blame all that in one. I think Lamar deserves a lot of that pie because he's the quarterback. He's the MVP. MVP going to get a lot of that. But then his teammates didn't help him out either.
They didn't.
Nah.
Outside of like Zay, but Zay helped as much as he hurt.
So
that's why I can't even be mad at Zay.
But that it happened.
I feel you.
But
where I'm at is like who I can't blame is the defense.
Even
you right though.
If I told you right, the Chiefs offense would have been all year right. They gonna come to Baltimore and we gonna score in the first two drives.
That's not good.
You won't believe that would happen.
Nah, I agree.
So if that does happen, now when you go to the sideline on the Chiefs, like, yo, we can beat these boys.
No doubt.
They ain't what we thought they was.
Hold on, hold
on. And on the other side, the Ravens, you're like, dang, yo. They better than we thought. What we going to do?
But here's my thing. You talking about Lamar Jackson, at least your first half, your take, I felt like he was a game manager. Well, I mean, they got to be ahead. They got to be able to run the ball in the second half. I'm like, wait a second. That's game manager talk.
Yeah.
Lamar ain't a game manager. Last I checked, last I heard, you was giving me real game manager energy.
That's
Lamar Jackson's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football. So the reason I'm putting it on Lamar is because I'm like, wait a second. That's what you're here for. You're here for the moment that Patrick Mahomes goes down and scores twice in a row. You're here for the moment when Mahomes throws a back shoulder to Travis Kelce. Like, that was great defense. Lamar, that's what you're here for. So for Lamar to still not be able to overcome, I was just like, it doesn't undermine the success he had this season. It doesn't. But it just makes me, it hurts me because, Joy, I agree with you. If he would have won, the narrative has to change.
Yeah.
But because he lost and how he lost with errant passes and he lost with an inability to really throw the ball efficiently and effectively, yo, that hurts, man. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts. When we return, we got to get into the film room to show exactly what and why Brock Purdy was able to lead the Niners back. Everybody's told you that he did, but we're going to show you in a unique way from an NFL perspective exactly the nuances behind what made the Niners come back from down 17. It was a historical performance, never before been done in a championship game, and we're going to show you how it happened. That's next on Speed.
Right.
family, want to bring you into the film room. We know that Brock Purdy won, but I want to show you how. There's been this narrative that Brock Purdy has been carried to the Super Bowl. Let me dispel that in the next 2 minutes. Turn your volume up and lock in. First thing I want to show you, the San Francisco 49ers, they are down by 7 points. They are down by 7 points into the game. Look, there is second and 11. Why is it second and 11? Because on first and 10, all-pro receiver Kyle Juszczyk, he's a fullback, he misses a block. All-pro tight end George Kittle, he can't make a guy miss. Now it's second and 11. Brock Purdy, what are you going to do? Second and 11, I need you to make a play. You're all-pro tight end, he couldn't make a guy miss. You're all-pro fullback, he missed a block. On second and 11, Brock Purdy, he puts the team on his back. Players aren't going to be special every single play. So when your teammates fall short, can you pick them up? That's Brock Purdy. Now it's 24-24. What's going to happen on this play? Christian McCaffrey, the running back, he's going to throw a lookout block. Now, Acho, what in the world is a lookout block? Well, it's when you completely whiff and all you are left to do is simply yell, "Hey, big dog, look out." He throws a lookout block. Brock Purdy says, "It don't matter. My all-pro running back, you going to miss this block? It's all good because I'm going to put the team on my back and throw a strike." Second and 11, after the all-pro tight end couldn't make a guy miss. After the all-pro fullback, he misses his block. Brock Purdy, plus 21-yard gain. Now it's tied 24-24. The all-pro running back, he throws a lookout block. Brock Purdy says, "Hey, it's all good. I'll put the team on my back." Don't let anyone convince you that Brock Purdy got carried all the way down to the Super Bowl. The game of football is an ultimate team game. When somebody lets you down, somebody else got to pick them up. And in this instance, in this game, on those plays, Brock Purdy was the one that did the carrying, not the other way around. All right, family, when we return, we are going to give you the early thoughts on who has the advantage in the Super Bowl. Is it the Chiefs? Is it Brock Purdy? Y'all know I love me some Brock Purdy, but I don't know if I love him that much. Early Edge next on Speak. We'll see you in about 3 minutes. Family, in our hurry up offense rematch of Super Bowl, whatever the Super Bowl was numbered 4 years ago, the Super Bowl from 2019, Super Bowl 54. I didn't learn my Roman numerals, though I do know alphabet again, a double alphabet. Anyway, Niners, they clinched. Chiefs, they clinched. Bring us on camera, y'all. We already know what happened. We know the two teams that clinched. Shady, you went to the Super Bowl with the Chiefs. Oh, the Super Bowl you went with the Chiefs was beating the Niners. Oh, this is unique, unique, unique. I love it. 2-5, who are you giving an early edge to? You've literally played in this exact game before. You were a part of the Chiefs. You played the Niners. Who's got the early edge?
How about them Chiefs? Go with the Chiefs. I keep saying it over and over again. How can anybody doubt? How can anybody make the underdog Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs? They win, win, win. They're the new Patriots. Right, but this is a better coach, and they're really in the almost equal quarterbacks. That's what it is. I got with the Chiefs. They've been on the road winning games. They're battle tested. They had all their bads early in the year. Now they're looking good. Right, yeah. It flipped on them. And another thing is like, one thing about being somebody, man, you know what it is. Y'all beat you up yesterday. I'm gonna beat you up again. They beat him in 09. They're gonna beat him again. Along with the Chiefs, Andy Reid.
Yeah, good. I'm done doubting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I submit. I'm done doing it. Also, we know experience matters here. Kyle Shanahan has some experience getting here, but 37 players on Kansas City's active roster have played in the Super Bowl. That's 58 total games played. 12 players for San Francisco on their active roster have played in the Super Bowl with 14 total games played. And we didn't even talk about Andy Reid yet. So the edge has to go to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I told y'all last week I picked the Ravens, but I was scared, right, because of Patty Mahomes. It's Patty Mahomes. I'm taking Patty Mahomes early. I mean, Patty Mahomes, it's crazy because 3 weeks ago, I would have said, man, every time Chiefs got the ball, they not finna score. Now I'm like, every time they touch it, I'm like, they about to go score a touchdown. It's crazy. But 1-5 is in the building. He going to be in Vegas last time I checked. He done played there already, so he know how the grass feel. You know what cleats he wear.
I am so disappointed with myself. I gotta say the Chiefs right now. Yeah,
with a great Brock Purdy the way he's playing, you sure?
I gotta say, I mean, is that the Niners defense don't even look good right now. They don't look great. The Niners offense I like a lot. What I'm more interested in, and we won't have time for this, but I'm gonna plant the seed now. If you can't outdo Patrick Mahomes, I wonder if Shanahan's way has figured it out. Of like, hey, stack a roster, have a quarterback who's gonna be cheap, who everybody will say is replaceable and expendable. I'm just wondering, like, this is an overall philosophical conversation I want to have over the next 2 weeks. But if you can't beat Pat, should you just try to construct your team differently? Because the Shanahan way, he's now been to a Super Bowl twice in 4 years, three times as an OC in 8 years, NFC Championship game 4 times in the last 5 years. I'm wondering philosophically, y'all don't have time to answer.
They got the better team.
Is this the way to do it?
Niners got the better team.
That's why they
and they should win.
Really?
They got the better team. What do you mean? They got all pros and Pro Bowls. Talking about,
I mean, we
praise MVS for catching a football. Like, that's his job. You know what I'm saying? For real, though. So they should win, but I'm going with Patrick Mahomes and Andy. And another thing is, it looked like to me, and I hate to judge, but to me, it looked like Travis Kelce's back.
I know, all the way.
Like the old Kelce back.
He looked different, though.
And like he was trying to prove a point.
That part.
That's a distraction.
That's what I'm saying, Shady.
Even his whole swag.
Kelce don't usually play that angry.
Yeah.
Chelsea usually play fun. Jigging, dancing. Like, he was like upset.
But the one thing about Kelce, people don't, Kelce is not acting. He is not soft. What you see, that's who he really is. I love Kelce.
Yeah, facts. All right, family, when we return, there are a few standout performances from yesterday. Who deserves a speak game ball?
That is next. I can't wait for this.
Family, it is time to hand out this week's Speak Game Ball. Who is the highlight player at Coach? It's very easy. I'm going Kyle Shanahan. 0-18 is what teams were when down by 17 at halftime in a championship game, and that is now 1-18. Joy Taylor.
I am going to go with someone from Kyle Shanahan's team, and that is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he liked that.
Brandon Ayuk, two really, really big plays, really a bunch more, but they don't win that game without him.
Oh, man. Oh, I am going Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy out of the system, making plays. Brock Purdy balled out. I know y'all also ain't on me.
Good for you.
Brock Purdy.
I'm going with Travis Kelce. They say distracted.
Yeah. That's
his,
good.
Girl, his billionaire girlfriend's too much for him. No. 11 targets, 11 catches, 116 yards, touchdown. They got the win. And he got his swag back.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, D.
Couldn't do it.